This is an ABC podcast.
G'day. Rugby league, the greatest game of all. It's a game of characters, a game of redemption and of resilience. Matthew Elliott has been searching far and wide for great yarns which have made the game what it is today. Welcome to Rugby League Storytime with Matthew.
So this week on Rugby League Storytime, with so much scrutiny on player behaviour in recent times, you know, we've all got our opinions on what has happened about the actual behaviour, but do we have got an insight behind what it feels like for that individual to get this amount of scrutiny at such a young age? And I think the person that would know better than anyone what it feels like to be under this kind of attention is Todd Carney. And Todd's joining us on Rugby League Storytime. Welcome aboard, Toddy.
Welcome, Matty. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, really good, mate. Good to hear your voice, and I'm looking forward to this chat. Let's start at the end with the end in mind, and if we look at some of the things that have occurred in recent times with the anti-vax and a few of the things that have gone on social media, how would those guys, rather than I'll ask you about the behaviour in a tick, but how would those guys be feeling with the amount of attention that they're receiving at the moment, or negative attention?
Yeah, I think the negative attention that they're copping is a tough one. And I think that when I look at it, I see straight away with Bryce Cartwright and Kelly, the first thing that happens to them is they're not allowed at training. So then you lose your bond with who you've got. Obviously, you've got your family and stuff, and they're the reasons behind for not getting the vaccination. But then you've got your teammates, which is the blokes you're day in, day out with. When you can't hang around them, and in the environment we're in at the moment, so they're pretty much stranded on their own, copping a lot of negative press. They only can go to their close family, but then you don't have your mates as footballers we call it, as brothers. You can't. You've got your support coming in over the phone, but you're not allowed to be around them. So that's where I think it's the tough one when you're stranded on your own and you're in a lonely place. Obviously, different scenarios for different people with what they've gone through, but I know through mine, obviously mine was through a lot of my own wrongdoing, so you get put in a sort of situation where you're on your own. Obviously, for me, I had a lot of mates around me that supported me through it all, but for these guys, in the environment we're in today, with the coronavirus and stuff, they're on their own, and then they're just waking up seeing the paper every day that they're getting hammered.
Yeah, so I'm quite sure that as far as when we raise the topic of mental health, that certainly can be something that be compromised during this period.
Yeah, definitely. And I look at Joel Thompson, obviously, he said, come out yesterday, or David Swan said sorry because he only read the headline. But he's a big advocate for it. He speaks from the bottom of his heart. He speaks from experience, like I spoke to you about the other day, Matty, about myself. Obviously, I don't have a knowledge from putting my head in textbooks and learning about that, but I've sort of been through it. And knowing Joel from a teenager from when I was at Canberra, he's been through it all, and it's good that I've always seen him sticking up for himself, his fellow players, and then obviously the peers of the game and stuff. And obviously he goes around the country telling his story. But it's good to see that players are supporting everyone, and it's been like that forever. That's what the good thing about rugby league. You've got a lot of support around you, and it's good that he did try and stand up for players. And And it is scary because, as you said, mate, mental health is a big part of it. And when you feel like you're getting hammered from your own source of rugby league, it gets worrying.
So let's dive into that story a little bit more and get on the theme of being a teenager in Canberra. And way back in, I think it was 2003, you were signed as a 16-year-old into a full-time squad. Well, that doesn't happen now or can't happen now. You know, when we start to look at the shaping of Todd Carney, what sort of impact did that have on you and both on your ability as a footballer but also on who you were?
Yeah, definitely, Matty. And obviously, you were the person that brought me into it, and you've seen how excited I was. And obviously, you've seen firsthand of, the bond I had with my mum and my dad, because obviously, they at that age, they had to come to that first meeting when you signed in. I always say to mum now, if you could change something, and I always say to myself, if I could change things, I could change so many things. And mum always says the one thing she would have changed was making me go to school to finish at Arendale or Dixon, like we had planned. But obviously, we had a plan to fast track, and for me it was 100% yes. For my dad, it was 100% yes, and I was ready to take on the world at 16, 17, and that's all I knew, and that's all I wanted, mate. And as I just said, you knew that. But I think knowing that now, you wind back to the perfect world, was I ready? Maybe football-wise, we could see potential that I was going to get to that point, and that's what you always said to me. That's why you didn't sort of throw me straight in the deep end all the time. Did I know any different? No, because I just love rugby league, and I still do, and that's all I wanted. And like I say, Mum would change what I'd done back then, but I wouldn't, because I just, that's all I wanted to do, was to mix with the best and be around the best. And it was obviously at that time when I come in as a kid, had the likes of, I'm getting goosebumps talking about, like Jason Croker, Luke DeVito, Simon Wolford, Clint Schakowsky, Jason Smith, Ruben Whitty. Like, the list goes on of the highest calibre players. Obviously, that's Canberra's bread, I guess, and they went through the heyday, and then there's me, a little freckly-faced kid, rolling in. And I just wanted to be like him. I wanted to do everything possible to make it, and that's what I've done, and that's what I wanted to do. So that's why Mum, she had no choice, because me and my dad obviously wanted that. And that's where that started. And for me, straight away, it wasn't the fame, because obviously we had so many people around. And when we touched on our conversation the other day about when they all left, what was it?
So you're talking about those senior players when they all left, and the impact that had?
Yeah, like obviously for yourself, Matty, when you left, and I always said to you, and this is winding back to a perfect world, I would love for you to stay, or I guess we had a connection that I could have followed you. But when everyone started to leave, obviously the older guys were retiring or moving overseas or moving clubs, and then all of a sudden the new kids on the block become the senior players, which we weren't. We were 20 games in, or not even that, and we were starting to be, oh, here's the new crop, the new face of Canberra, and we're getting all this, obviously pumping our tyres up. We're playing really well in reserve grade. I wasn't doing overly well in first grade, and then 2007, we started to hit a bit of form, and with that form come a lot of media, a lot of expectations, a lot of hype. And to be honest, Matty, I didn't handle it. I didn't handle it at all. I rode the wave like I was, probably thought I was Andrew Johns or a superstar before it even happened. Where before, if that was happening in Canberra, Clint Schakowsky or Toots or Ruben would come, pull your side and go, listen here, mate. Pull your head in or you're out. Or like, that's the power they had, where when you've got blokes at your same age, some blokes a little bit older, some blokes younger, they're not going to say that because they're the blokes with you. Out there enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a really strong message. Yeah, and I guess around that time too, Todd, and I know this is a sensitive one for you, your father passed, and you've already talked about the influence he had on you as a person and a player, and I guess it would have been hard to realise at the time, but when you reflect back, can you see, because I certainly could, can you see the impacts of that on your behaviour and your stability at the time?
Yeah, definitely, Matty. And it's a funny one. Like, when I was doing my book last year, it come up a lot, obviously, in the book, and I sort of pushed past it. I didn't want to talk about it, because the whole time I always said I didn't want to blame my dad's death on things I'd done, because I thought that was a weak option. And in times, people were saying to me, oh, you should say it because it might get you a little bit of leniency. But I didn't want to, because I felt that wasn't the right thing. And it wasn't until the end of last year, my partner Susie rang my mum and said, I think Todd needs to go see someone about his father passing away, because at times he gets emotional when he doesn't know. Obviously, if I've had maybe a big night or something, I've come home and I've got upset before I've gone to bed. And I obviously didn't know, because it's something that I probably wanted to forget about when I woke up in the morning, so I pushed it aside. And then I've started seeing someone, and the lady says to me, she goes, you're not blaming your dad, but obviously it's an effect. You're an 18-year-old kid. You've got the world at your feet. You've got so much happening around you. All of a sudden, he's the bloke that would clip you under the ear. He would make you do this, this, and this. And then he's dead. wake up next day, he's gone.
Yeah, that's...
And so then I started to realise, and obviously I don't want to turn around and go, yes, that's the reason why, but it did have an effect, Maddie, and I can happily say that now because I go see her about it and I do things. It might not be strange to people that have lost their, someone in their family or been to a council like I do, but like now I write letters to him, stories that I'd like to tell him and stuff, and obviously that gets tough because it's something that brings up memories and stuff, but it's things that I've actually spoken about that obviously was a negative effect for me and for everyone around me, but it definitely was a part of it, but not the be all and end all of it, but yeah, it definitely was a tough time for me.
Well, that's a powerful message that you've shared there, Todd, for people that are listening in about, you know, seeking support and, you know, it's never too late, but also the consequences of not getting it when you do require it. So if you did, the much wiser Todd Carney now was able to give yourself some advice, what would you be sitting down telling yourself?
Now I know, obviously I still like a good time, Maddie, and obviously it's few and far between. Is obviously with my partner now, we're looking towards the future and things like that. But if I sat back in 2010, not a one the daily am, and just thought to myself, you've got a maximum stage. I was 23. So put it 7 years to 30. I wish I just sat and said to myself, you're not going to have you can enjoy a beer here and there, but don't go back to the old times. But just 7 years. And then who knows where you'd be. I wish I could put it back to the bloke to come in your office, Matty, when I was a kid or when things started to happen, because I always say if it was a perfect world for me, I'd be still probably in Canberra.
So if you were, I gave you the opportunity to sit down with someone like Nathan Cleary or, you know, Latrell Mitchell, would you give them the same advice? What would you say to them?
Well, I think their advice is a little bit different, Matty, because I think back then social media wasn't a big influence on, not an influence, but I wasn't around then. I think would be just bunker down, keep your own little circle and people you trust, because I think they've got people that leak stuff that they're up to. And then obviously social media takes that. I'd just say to them, look, yeah, just focus on that goal. And I'm sure they do. But for me, the message to someone that is going down a similar path to me, and it's an easy path to work at it if you feel you're going that way, is if you're out enjoying the fame of rugby league and being that person that's on the front page and enjoying some good footy games here and there. But, yeah, just to think that it's not all, yeah, while it's good, it's not as good as the end goal, because obviously it all ends pretty quick. And it took me some time to get to the place I'm in now, maybe with obviously... I was quite bitter that I still wanted to be playing and stuff, but I'm in a position now where I'm coaching kids, obviously. I'm still playing and coaching in Byron, but I'm happy with where I'm at. But for a while, I hated it because I still wanted to be doing what I was set out to do. Obviously, I achieved things, but not what I wanted in the end.
Well, that's a really powerful way to finish, and it's, you know, it's so good to hear that you are back in country rugby league and you're contributing to the sport. And I know the impact you're having on young individuals about not only teaching them high level technique to advance their game, and there's so many kids that you're coaching at the moment, which is fantastic. But you're also putting yourself, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to use those lessons that you learn as a player. So thank you for joining me on Rugby League Storytime, Toddy.
No worries, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.